message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Welcome once again to our time together, and we trust that as we look into the Word of God, there'll be a real blessing and help here for you to understand the Word of God, to enjoy the Word of God, and then to have God's Word go to work in your life as you walk by faith in an understanding of it. You know, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we desire to get the profit out of God's Word. The Word of God is given that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Everything you'll ever need to serve God with, to live your life on a daily basis for God's glory, is found in the Word of God. First thing you have to do, of course, get saved. First thing you need to do is have the life of God as a present possession. Have your sins forgiven and have His life, and that comes simply through faith, and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing what God believes about His Son, that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died to pay for everything that's wrong with you, and that God raised Him from the dead so that He could be the author of eternal life when you trust Him. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in religion, not in a church, not in a denomination, not in what we're doing, but in what He did, and we believe what God believes. We agree with the Lord about where life is. The book says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And somebody says, "Well, what about this ordinance or that ordinance? And what about baptism? And what about church membership? What about this thing or that thing?" The Bible just says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Do you have the Son? I mean, we won't argue about all the other. How about you? Do you have the Son? If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't, you don't have life. And it's a wonderful thing to have everlasting life as a present possession, and all of your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life simply as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, there's no way you can work for a gift. There's nothing you can do to earn a gift. The only thing you can do with a gift is to receive it, and that's what faith is. That's receiving from God the gift, the free gift of His righteousness and life given to us in Christ Jesus. And once you get saved, one of the wonderful, marvelous, divine operating assets that the child of God has is the written Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit as the indwelling teacher of the Word of God. You have the Word of God itself as the objective standard in the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit written out here. You have the Word of God's instructions as to how it should be studied, rightly divided. And you have opportunities to study it and compare it. And that's what we're doing here. We don't have anything for you to join. We don't have anything for you to, you know, come and be some part of. We just want to impart to you some understanding from God's Word so that God can go to work in your life. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And God wants to work in your life, but the way He'll do that is through His Word. God the Holy Spirit taking the Word that He wrote and making that Word energize and empower your life as you believe it. The Word of God works effectually in you that believe, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says. So we're looking again at Romans chapter 8. We're studying here, and we began last week looking at Romans 8, and we're looking here at the issue of life that's in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to have life in Christ Jesus. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're given life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We talked with you last week about that. That verse is not talking about the security of a believer one way or the other. That's not a verse that you can use to say, "Well, see, there's no condemnation, so we're secure in Christ," or, "Well, the condemnation or the lack of it is conditioned." This is not a security verse. This is a verse about the Christian life. This is not a verse about getting saved or staying saved. It's a verse about how your life as a believer in time will operate. And the basis of a triumphant life in Christ is to walk in the Spirit. That is, to walk in line with what God's doing, not in the flesh. For the law, some of the he's going to give you some of the reasons why there's no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You notice there is this law of the Spirit. Now we learn in chapter 6 and chapter 7 that you and I as believers are not under the law. That is, we're not under the judicial law that God gave through Moses. But this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's not the judicial law. Those have been abolished. Romans 6:14 says you're not under the law, but under grace. That is, you're not under the judicial law of God. This law here is a different kind of the law. It's used in a different sense. The law of the Spirit is not a judicial law. It's an operative law. It's not like the law of Moses or some judicially passed legislation. Rather, this is an operative. It's a principle of life, in essence. For example, we talk about the law of gravity. Well, how did the law of gravity operate before Newton defined it for us? You know, the story about Newton sitting under the apple tree and the apple fell on his head and he wrote down the law of gravity. How did the law of gravity operate before Newton defined it? Well, it operated just fine, thank you. It operates the same way it did today. Whether you know how to define it or not, it's just a principle of life. There's the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is that sin produces death. You sin, you die. Sin brings forth death. Always is that way, never any other way. That's just a principle of life. It's just like the law of gravity. It's just like the laws of thermodynamics. It's like any other law of life. It's just the way things are. It's the way things operate. Well, when he talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the issue there is that there is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, for example, chapter number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And when he talks about that life in Christ, he's summing up. That's a summary statement of what we learned about in Romans 6 and 7 about being identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God took us and His Son died at Calvary. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we were over here in sin. We were over here in death. We were over here in the flesh. And Jesus Christ died for us, and we were transferred out of Adam into the Lord Jesus Christ. We were placed into Christ over here, and in Christ, sin has been judged and taken out of the way, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Him. We've been placed over here. We've been taken out of being in the flesh, as verse 9 in Romans 8 says, and placed in the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we've been taken out of the realm of death and placed into the realm of life in Christ Jesus. His resurrection life is now our life. And there's a tremendous transfer that takes place when you trust Christ, an identity change. And you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new identity. You are a new creature. You are someone brand new. You are a part of the church, the body of Christ, something new that God's doing. And the law, the way life in Christ Jesus works is that it sets us free from the law of sin and death. We are free from this stuff over here so that we are now able to go out and to serve God and to bring forth fruit in our life and the details of our life, use them for God's glory. Now, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, not after the old life, but after the new life that you have. Not going back living the way we lived before we got saved, but living like who we are in Christ Jesus. This is the path and the life of triumph for the believer today. The issue of condemnation in the passage has to do with a believer. It doesn't have to do with your salvation or your justification or whether you possess the life of God. It has to do with whether you get the benefit out of the things that God has given you in His Son. whether you live like who God made you in Christ, or you go back over here and live like who you were before you became the new creature. Whether you live consistent with who you are or whether you don't. And the whole issue here has to do with the walk of the believer. Our walk in Christ. What kind of a walk are we going to have? Are we going to walk like the old man, or are we going to walk like the new life? And when he talks about there is therefore now no, now, here, after we're saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. He's talking about two ways that you can live. Now he defined them for us, and we've looked at it in detail back in chapter number 7. You can walk in the flesh. As a child of God, you can walk in the way the flesh operates, or you can walk in the Spirit. You can walk the way the flesh operates as it lives under the law principle. Your flesh is a legalist. Your old man, your flesh, the way you've learned to live, you want to perform. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In Eden, Satan told Adam and Eve a lie. He told them that you can feel better about yourself. You can make more of yourself on the basis of what you do and the way you operate. And that was a lie. He told them what you need to do is you need to know everything God knows, and you need to go out here and learn these things out here and know the difference between good and evil and so forth. And folks, they did. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did learn the difference between good and evil, but it wasn't for their betterment. It was for their destruction. It was disobedience. But the whole lie, the lie program back here was that through their performance, they could get better. They could feel better about themselves. They could gain a new identity. They would be better off. You've been taught that. You've been sold that bill of goods in the world today. There are thousands of people out there across the world who get all of their identity, all of their personal self-worth based upon their identity of who they are, based upon what kind of work they do. Sometimes it's your job. Sometimes, you know, you get, that's the big thing with the recessions in recent years and people losing their jobs and the sea changes taking place in the economy and people losing a job and a career, and it's over with, and they're depressed and they're down to the dumps and they lose hope. Why? Because all of their identity was wrapped up in what they were doing, and they got their worth and their value based upon their performing. For some of you, it's religion. For some people, it's the religious activities that they can perform, and they get all of their identity based in what their religion is, and their church, and their ceremonies, and their correct observances of all of the actions and so forth, and they get all of their identity based in their religious performances and so forth. Whatever it is, any time, and the law system, remember we've talked about this, the law system is the if you perform, then you receive. The law system is a system of conditional blessings. The blessings are based upon performance. And fear is the basic motivator behind the law system. The Spirit of God, however, Galatians 5:18 says, if you're led of the Spirit, you'll not be under the law. The Spirit of God never leads anyone today to live under this principle. The Spirit of God leads us today to live under the grace principle. Grace. Grace is all that God has accomplished for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. All of the merits and the accomplishments of Calvary are placed into operation in our life, and the only response that grace will accept is faith. Folks, the only thing grace will accept from you is your faith in what God has said. It's your faith, my faith, our faith, resting in the facts of Calvary and what God has declared that He has accomplished for us, that allows the Holy Spirit the liberty to take the truth of the life that is ours in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and put those things into operation in our life. Now, when you walk after the flesh, what you reap is death to your Christian experience. Because when you walk after the Spirit, you live. Your Christian experience grows and flourishes and is profitable. And the profit God put in it for you is the fruit is born. And the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, fruits, the evidence of life. When you walk after the flesh, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus doesn't operate, but rather the law of sin and death operates. That's why he goes on here in the verses here. And he says in verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see, the issue has to do with grace reigning. Down here, grace is what reigns. Up here, sin is what reigns. Consequently, death controls up here. Down here, life controls. Again, we're not talking about dying and going to hell. We're talking about the life that God gave you in Christ. Is it going to be released into operation into your life? Or is it just going to, or is your life in time going to be alienated from the life of God? And you're going to live in a condition that we call reversionism. Paul talks about those who oppose themselves, living in opposition to who you really are in Christ. And what you see in Romans chapter 7, when he talks about he says, to will is present with me. I delight in my mind after the things of God, but how to perform I don't see, because the good that I would do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. You know what he's doing? He's describing himself living up here. He's got the conflict, and he's got the desire in his heart. The war going on between the spirit and the flesh, between the principle of the law and the principle of grace. And the way you get out of walking in the flesh and you begin to walk in the Spirit is you walk by faith in what God's doing. You put into your mind, that's what he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with my mind I myself serve the law of God." You begin to think. Verse 5 in Romans 8, he says, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Their mind is fixed on the way the flesh operates, performing. If I keep performing, if I keep trying, if I keep going, if I keep doing, people will see how valuable I am. People will see that I'm worth something. I'll find a purpose in life. You need to be unconditionally accepted, unconditionally loved, unconditionally forgiven. You need to have purpose and meaning in your life. Folks, you'll never find those things on the basis of your own performance. You'll only find them in Christ. So if you live over here as a believer, but you forget who you are, and you define yourself by your failures or by your successes rather than by who God says you are in Christ, what that does is it condemns you. It brings you to the place where the life that is in Christ, rather than triumphantly living through you, is ignored. When he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What's he saying? He's saying, we get out of Romans 7. We get out of that, I want to do, I want to serve, but I just can't figure out how to do it. Because every time I try to do right, I find that I don't do it all the time. And I fail, I mess up. Every time I try to stop sin in my life, I can't. So that's what people use the law for. People use the law to do two things. One, stop sin. And two, to teach them how to do what God wants them to do. That's what Paul's doing in Romans 7. He said, how to perform it. I mean, I know what I ought to do, but how to do it. How to stop doing what I don't want to do, what I shouldn't do. I know what I shouldn't do, but I just keep... He's getting aware. Living under the law only condemns you, because the law you're performing will never be accomplished. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, that I live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What's the faith of the Son of God? What kind of faith did Jesus Christ exhibit? Jesus Christ lived his life in the flesh in absolute, complete, and total dependence upon his Father. He said, without the Father, I can do nothing. You know what he said about his disciples? Without me, you can do nothing. You know what Paul said about himself? Nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the issue is Christ living in us and through us, and that's accomplished as we live in dependence upon what God says is the reality in our life. The cross put away our sin. The resurrection empowers us, gives us the capacity and the power to live and to serve only as we walk by. You see, you have access into the grace when you stand by faith. The only response that grace will accept is faith. When a problem comes into your life, difficulties come. And as I said a moment ago, you need to be forgiven and accepted unconditionally. You need to be loved unconditionally. You need purpose and meaning in life. And folks, all of those things that you really need, God gave you in Christ. He forgave all of your sins, unconditionally accepts you in His Son. He looks down and sees you, He sees His Son. He looks at Calvary, He sees you dying there, and He looks at you and He sees His Son. Unconditional acceptance. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has work and a purpose and life and things. God's doing something today, folks. It's a wonderful thing. And if you're saved, you're a part of it. And if you're not saved, you can be a part of it simply by trusting His Son. Then you'll have a meaning and purpose in life. You'll be a part of something God planned to do from before the foundation of the world and is going to carry it out throughout all the ages of eternity. But you know what we do? We say, well, I'll do it myself. I'll perform. And we say, I've seen it time and again. You have. I just know that if I go out here and if I work hard enough at this and I demonstrate my abilities hard enough, people are going to see that I am worthy of being loved. I'll find somebody out there that'll love me and accept me. I'll find some meaning and purpose in life. You will. That's why people go through addictions. That's why people become, the word today is codependents. Those are all just crutches. Being a codependent is just like being a drug addict. It's just a crutch. And whether you drink it down, throw it down your throat, drink it out of a bottle, or snort it up your nose, or stick it in your veins, or use some mental gymnastics or psychological intrigue, you're saying, if I could just find enough people, if I go through enough people, if I can go through enough women, if I go through enough men, I'll find somebody that'll love me for the good, wonderful person that I am. Recognize how valuable I am. The problem with that is you're defining yourself by your actions. And the problem with that is your actions wind up being failures. And you know it, and I know it. Consequently, you're defining yourself by your failures. You say to live under the law is to live under the condemnation of the fact that you're living under a system where you're going to fail, because you do. You see, you're a sinner. That means you're going to fail. Sin's a transgression of the law. Sin means you do fail. God said, I know that. That's why I've provided victory for you. I've provided a system where you don't fail, because I do for you what you can't do for yourself. And you see, what God does for you is He comes along and He says, I love you and accept you unconditionally, and I put you in my Son so that you're securely accepted and secure. And now, rather than defining yourself by your failures and by your performances, define yourself by who God made you in Christ. You're His workmanship. You're His child. And He says, and I'll give you purpose and meaning. I talked to a man just a few months ago. A man in our assembly is a policeman. And he picked a man up who was, they got a call, he was threatening suicide. And as he rode the man, he had to take him and into custody, protective custody, and take him to the hospital. And as they rode to the hospital in the squad car, he kept saying to my friend, "There's just nothing to live for." He said, "I'm 40-something years old, and I get up in the morning, and I go to work, and I come home in the evening, and I sit in front of the TV, and I drink a couple of beers, and I eat a TV dinner, and I go to bed. Why? Just to get up in the morning and go to work? And work all day and come home in the evening, drink a couple of beers and lay in the bed and go." And he said, "One night I go bowling and do a couple of other things." And said, "And that's all there is." And he said, "I'm tired of it. I don't want to get up tomorrow. And I don't want nothing." You know what? It's a wonderful thing to have something to share with somebody like that, that, hey, that isn't what you were created for. God will redeem you from that failure. Put you in His Son, make you a part of something that lasts forever. There is a purpose for you. If you're not saved today, you need to trust Jesus Christ and become a part of what God's doing. And if you're saved, you need to understand how what God's doing works. And don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to do it yourself. Get into that book. Get an understanding of what God's doing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get into that book and learn to mind the things of the Spirit. Put into your mind and your understanding. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by minding the things that God the Holy Spirit is doing today as He exalts His grace to us in Christ. Find out who God's made you in Christ, and what it is God's accomplishing through this new workman, this new creature that you are. And walk by faith in that, and let that be the reality of your life, for that's the life of triumph. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, "The Life of Triumph." It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 275. That's tape offer number 275. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.